Okay, good morning, everyone. Okay, so yesterday we spoke about the idea of glut when it comes to a cow. It's worthwhile now evaluating, what about chickens? Is there such thing as a glut kosher chicken? So they don't have these type of, you know, the anatomy of the lung of a chicken is obviously totally different. And they don't have these sirchas, and they don't have any of the things that we discussed yesterday. So what's the issue? What's the challenge? And maybe there isn't, in which case we're fine. So there's a tshuva by the Chassam Sofer in 16 who says that there's a case where a chicken has actually been attacked by a predator. And what the concern is that because it was attacked by a predator, maybe as part of the attack, its lungs were pierced. So the ofa nidras, right? So this is a chicken that was clawed. The shim is the ace, and you know, waited a day. Amrina and Ditsarptika, you got to check this chicken about for its lungs. Vibaila Musah Beitza, Imoto the Sokhto Biyomtov, Kasav Rabin Nisim, Havi Sfeka Doraisa, the Sokhto Biyomtov. And for example, the issue is, can you shecht, you know, you're allowed to shecht on Yomtov? And are you allowed to shecht this bird that was clawed? Can you shecht it on Yontif? Since you're concerned that you're not going to benefit from your shechita. And if you shecht a chicken that was a trefa, well, maybe you violated an Isur Doraisa because you can't shecht on Yontif unless it's for Ochel Nefesh. And if it has a blemish, you can't eat it, it means a problem. So he says, that's why you got to check. Fine. It's very late to, according to Brand, the often nidras by B'dik Minatora, Dilma Nehi Ruba Leika, Hari Yatsim Arov, Hari Nidras. So the suffix, well, the suffix there that they're referring to is the situation where if it was really pierced, it'd be a pierced one needs to be checked according to the Torah, perhaps. And all of a sudden, it loses its status as being loses its status of being okay. Meaning, if you want to tell me that most birds, their lungs are fine, the moment it's been removed from the group, it loses the chazakah as being part of the group. So we discussed last week, kinds of a chazakah when it comes to these things. Fine. Bottom line is, and this is what we really are concerned about, we can originally place an original chazakah. It was kosher until now. And checking it is just a chumra, only because of an outside chance that its lung was pierced when it was attacked. So it's a very important concept. We're questioning now this chazaka. Why? Because it was pierced. Questioning potentially maybe something happened to it, even though it has a chazaka, that its lungs are fine. And since you're efshar levarer, you're able to check it. You're not always able to check everything, but you are able to check this situation after the fact once you shecht it, and therefore it's better to do so. Meaning, what you're trying to say, according to the Chassam Sofer, is that since there's enough of a doubt that's been inserted into our minds because of it being attacked, it should be checked. Okay, is it a deraisa? Is it the rabbanon? That's unclear, but it should be checked. Now, why does this matter? This matters for the following. They don't know why. There's an issue in Israel. The issue in Israel is that many chickens in Israel, their lungs have some type of pierces in them. They're open a little bit. And why that is unclear. But that's the fact. How do I know this? Because it says, take a look at source footnote number 5. Different theories are offered as to why there are a significant number of trefot among chickens in Israel due to defects in the lungs, including the desert climate in some places. Okay, various diseases, fine. Now, what it's trying to say is that there's a reason for us to suspect the lungs of chickens, maybe it loses its status of a chazakah that it's okay, since so many of them are in fact deficient. And that is one of the differences between mahadrin and non-mahadrin chicken, right? One of the differences between mahadrin and non-mahadrin chicken, for example, Rabbanut for chicken, they check very few, whereas Mahadrin will check every single lung of a chicken. Okay, so that's why Mahadrin chicken in Israel is more expensive, because it requires more labor and has a higher level of kashrus. And we really should try and keep to that is a chumrah worthwhile keeping. That's what it says in Sefer Kashrus. Not all chumrahs are worthwhile keeping. That is definitely one of them. Okay, and in source 17, they talk about the ofos and mikrim kifuim. We're talking about chickens that are often sold frozen. Rubam mefutamim. They've been stuffed up. What the farmers, what do they do with the chickens? They stuff them up. They fatten them up. Do you know why? They'll weigh more. You know what's important? You get paid per pound. Or it's Israel, so I guess per kilo. Right? So since you get paid per kilo, if you can, I don't know, increase double the size of your chicken, you'll make double the money. Therefore, Alkain in the Knotam Ella Belchirdua Mokha Mahadri. That is one of the reasons why you need to have a good Ashkacha, like a Mahadri. What? So apparently, and this is what's interesting, we don't have an issue in North America. We don't have an issue in North America. It's a climate thing that our chickens are okay.
I guess we have them in bigger.
I'm not so sure why, but I don't know. It's a different system. We still stuff our chickens here. For every reason, it's less of an issue in North America.
Probably more outdoor farms in Israel.
So maybe outdoor farms, yeah, maybe. That could be. Okay, fine. The next topic is liver on page 197, and I realize that none of you, I mean, maybe I'm wrong, are going to cash your liver, you know? Maybe you're mostly buying liver. It is actually one of the few pieces of meat I actually do not eat. I know, that's shocking. I don't eat liver. I know, I'm sorry.
Are you an Ashkenaz?
What was that? I know, I'm sorry. I apologize, y'all, for that. But okay, fine.
Liver pate, it's the best thing.
I know. Okay, fine. So that's the reason why liver is an issue for kashrus is that it's completely, it makes it healthy. It has a lot of blood. The Gemara itself says you have to kasher it differently than you would regular meat. Okay? So we'll do a very quick, it's just super interesting. This is just it's a well-known, it's entire Siman Shulchan Aruch. Let's take a look at the Gemara. We'll do it quickly. Actually, not that quickly. Source 18. So Amar La Yalsa Rav Nachman. So you should know there was a lady whose name was Yalta. She was very, very learned. She appears in various places in Shas. And it's Rav Nachman's wife. And so she's often quoted in the Gemara. So Amar Le Yalsa Rav Nachman. So Mrs. Rav Nachman, Yalta, says to her husband, Michdi kod asa Rav Nachman ashari la kvase. Right? For anything like Rav Baruch Hu, Asers, he also gave us something that was permissible. Asher lan dama, shari lan kavda. For example, you're not allowed to have dama, you can't have blood. We're allowed to have liver. Nida dam tohar. Also, for example, there are certain things you're not allowed to have, like what's considered asher. Well, we know you're not allowed to have, it isn't appropriate to have, relations with one's wife when she's a nida. There's also blood that is permitted. Yes, another difference. Again, remember we're talking about this contract. Okay, we're going to continue. He lists another ones as well. Not really our topic, so it doesn't really matter. Okay, go down to that last line. The last line he says, Amar lehu Rav Nachman letavche zeviku la kecholi. What does she say? Rav Nachman says, I like to cook it. You put it on a spit, and that's how you... That's why he liked to eat his udder. The udder is also an issue. The udder is actually a very interesting halachic situation because an udder contains the milk of a cow. How would you kosher the udder? So he's saying you have to put it on a spit. It needs to be koshered by putting it on the fire directly. Have direct contact with fire with the udder. Because it contains milk, and you got to remove the milk when you want to have it because it's meat as well. Okay, how do you kosher? How do you eat it? How do you eat a liver? Turn the page. Source 19. Kavad Yeshbo Ribui Dam, says the Shulchan Aruch, the liver has a tremendous amount of blood. Therefore, okay, so generally speaking, when it comes to meat, salt it. You got to salt the meat on both sides, kosher and salt. You let it drain. You put it in a baseboard. The salt sits there for a certain amount of time. What does the salt do? It absorbs all the blood. It dries it, absorbs it, and then you remove it. You rinse it off. In fact, you need a dach before, you need a dach after. Okay, it's an interesting process when it comes to salting. Fine. But it's not enough to salt liver. It is insufficient. What do you need to do instead? Koro shiverev. You have to rip it up shiverev both ways. You have to do a really good job ripping up the liver. And you have to roast it. Karkach yachol vashlo. You have to tear it, you have to rip it up, and then what you have to do, you then have to roast it. So by doing that, by putting it over a spit of fire, and because you've ripped open the pieces of meat, the flesh, it opens up the pores. Since you've opened up the pores by slicing it up, therefore the blood is, by putting it over fire, the blood will drip down and it'll be removed. Fine. Okay?
So you're basically just drying it out.
You're drying it out.
Like, but you can technically just do, you know, when people like hang meat and stuff like that, you can just do that for liver technically. And like, it'll just be okay for like a 2 months period of time. And drying it out is possible.
I do not know enough about the process, but the problem is the fire gets inside of it, right?
And burns out.
And burns it out. So, says the Ramah, there's actually a minhag, lo l'machlo kavet klal, afilu vada. There's a minhag, you're not allowed to salt liver at all. Fein l'shanos, do not change a minhag, says the Ramah. Rak niyesu machlo k'tzak k'shihi t'chuva b'shipun. But there's a minhag, once you've actually completely, you've put it on the spit, you put fire underneath it, you've blasted it up, it says there's a minhag to add a little bit of salt to it afterwards. And I said there's a minhag to rinse the liver, because sometimes blood can get congealed on the outside of it, and therefore do a quick rinse to remove the leftover blood when you finish roasting it. Okay? But if you didn't actually rinse it, it's still mutter. So the Ramah continues in 21. Some say you have to actually rinse the meat, the kaveh, the liver first. That has to do with that when it comes to regular meat, you rinse it, salt it, and then rinse it again. What's the minhag? Minhag is rinse it in the beginning to again run it over a spit after you've ripped it up a little. Shiverev. And then when you're done, add a bit of salt, and then to rinse it again, just like you treat other meat. So other meats, you need to salt a lot, rinse, salt, rinse. When it comes to kaveh, when it comes to liver, you're going to need to also do the rinsing and salting and rinsing, but you're going to need the main process, which is, of course, putting over a spit. Okay, fine. And that's basically the halacha. If you take a look at 22 in modern-day Sefer Kashrus, he says it should be interesting, not on a blasted high fire, but it should be on a medium fire. Eish beinonis. Right? Or embers, which I guess are a lower level as well. Now, this is really interesting. Let's read. It's worthwhile reading this, and it'll take us the rest of the time, I'm sure. Very interesting about kashering lever. So Rav Moshe Heinemann is the head of the Star Cake Kashrus. He wrote a whole thing on liver. So again, this is good to know. This is what your grandparents, maybe your great grandparents used to do. No one does it today, but the tradition is definitely still there. So kashering by broiling is done in the following manner. If a whole animal liver, meaning the beef or calf liver, is to be kashered, deep crisscross cuts should be made throughout the liver in various places. To facilitate the flow of the blood out of the liver, to this end, the cuts should lie face down during the broiling. The more prevalent kashering cow or calf liver is to slice the liver into pieces of uniform thickness. If the liver is kashered in this fashion, crisscross cuts do not need to be made. Chicken liver or livers or other species of fowl can be broiled without cutting the surface. Care must be taken that the gallbladder, which is green in color and cylindrical in shape, has been removed from the liver. And what's the process? the liver or slices of liver that is to be kashered should be thoroughly washed off in cold water and placed on a grate of fireproof material. The grate must be constructed in a way that it does not inhibit the free flow of blood or other juices from the liver. The blood and juices should drip or run to a place where they have no further physical contact with the liver. So you either, right, you have to make sure that it runs off. Liver is lightly salted on both sides. It's customary to put at least the amount of salt that would give the liver a good taste. The salting is used as an aid to the fire to facilitate extracting the blood. So sorry, the salt comes before the fire. If one wants to use more salt, of course you can do so. Salting the liver is not compulsory, and the broiling process can be accomplished without the salt. Consequently, people who are restricted to low sodium diet may omit salting the liver because of their medical condition. Because as we saw, salting is just a chumrat minhag from the Ramah, but really, you only really need to salt meat. But since you're broiling and roasting out the meat, salting is just a chumrah, stringency. Salting steep may only be omitted when kashering liver meat through broiling. If meat is to be kashered through soaking and salting, meat, that right? Forbidden to exclude the salting from the process, obviously. Okay, the fire. It's preferable to broil the liver on a fire source that is directly below the liver. If that's not feasible, one may broil liver from a heat source above the liver. Hence, it would be permissible to broil liver in a broiler or an electric oven if that is the only broiling source available. So you could use an oven and make sure you have a pan, though, to catch it. Right? Otherwise, cause a fire. If the oven or broiler is used for kosher food as well, meaning it's not just a self-designated oven for liver, here should we dig into it, assure that blood does not splatter onto the oven or broiler cavity, because splattered blood will make the oven or broiler chafe. The practical solution is to place a pan under the rack or grate to catch the dripping blood and juices. The pan will then become chafe. The grate or grate should not be used for anything except kosher and liver, unless proper kosherization procedures are employed to kosher the grates, racks, and utensils. That's a very long process. Any utensil used in the broiling process, like a fork, should be set aside and used exclusively for livers. It is a notorious practice to burn the fork and all utensils used in the broiling process in fire for the next time liver is to be kashered. So you even want to kasher it again. You want to kasher it after your fork that you, let's say, you stuck into the liver, just kasher it again, really. It's customary to do the liver or liver slices during the broiling process from time to time to facilitate a more even and uniform broiling. Got to flip it on both sides. It is also customary to broil liver until the outer juices have ceased flowing and the liver is dry on the outside. The liver, of course, does not need to be burnt. The kashering liver is then washed off in cold water 3 times in order to remove the salt that's been absorbed in the blood and any blood found on the outer surface of the liver. If these procedures have been followed and red juice exudes from the liver interior, the liquid is not considered blood, is permitted to be eaten. By the way, that's the case too when you buy blood or when you buy meat or chicken, you sometimes still see blood. How can you still see blood on your chicken or on your meat? The answer is, if you've done all the kashering process properly and there's still a residue of blood, we say it's not real blood. We've removed all the blood.
You would buy liver at Sobeys.
Yeah, so they've done that for you.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, but they've done it all for you. It's raw, but they've done it all for you.
They did the salting.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. Okay. When the kosher liver is cut open, one may find the color of the interior liver to be a shade of green, tan, light brown, pink, or deep brown. The only question about color is deep. Is deep brown the color of unkoshered raw liver? This color indicates the liver was not broiled thoroughly, and the unkashered deep brown part of the liver should be reboiled or discarded. I never knew that. Never bought liver in my life. After the liver has been broiled and kashered, it is considered like any other piece of kosher meat, which can be fried or roasted in a kosher meat pan or sauce, a kosher meat pot, pan, or roaster without any reservation. Furthermore, liver does not have to be broiled within 72 hours of kosher slaughter. So I should explain. Kosher meat, once you shecht it, you only have 72 hours to kosher it. If it was not broiled within that this time. There are different halachic opinions whether one may cook, fry, or roast this liver after it was kosher. It's questionable whether one would be allowed to soak the liver in liquid 24 hours or more. A competent halachic authority should be consulted. Also, if one used the regular soaking and salting koshering technique on liver in error, halachic authority should be consulted. Is there any room for b'dieved for your liver to be okay if all you did was kosher it like you treated it like a regular piece of meat, meaning with no broiling? A few more points, and then we're going to end. Number one, is common for blood and juices to run out of the raw liver. The liver may not lie in this liquid for more than 24 consecutive hours. I will tell you the halachic reason. Because if you soak something for 24 hours, it's as if you're cooking it. That's the Gemara tells us that. Okay. If it did, a Torah authority should be consulted about the liver plate and the bowl. One may broil liver on a rotisserie spit, provided the liver is washed after it's been placed on the spit before broiling. And the rotisserie does not resolve. And the rotisserie does not revolve constantly during the broiling process. If it constantly revolves, could be an issue. The piece of liver may be touching one another during the broiling process, if so desired. Last but not least, frozen liver should be completely thawed out before it's done to broil it. Otherwise, the liver will not be broiled all the way through. Okay, very, very interesting case is about how to deal with chicken and how to deal with liver. The next one is preparing kosher fish, and there's like a minute and a half to go. So we're going to start, how do you deal with kosher fish? Very different than dealing with, I guess, what we call meat. And it is definitely, again, you know, maybe you want to go fishing. That's a big thing to do. You want to go fishing, and how do you catch your own fish? How do you kosher it? How do you eat it? It is a very different situation than chicken or than meat. How to deal with it and what's the reason why it's totally different is something which we are going to see, God willing, next week on Tuesday. Have a wonderful Thursday, everybody. A great weekend, a beautiful Shabbos, and see you, God willing, in a few days. If not sooner.
See you later.
Bye. You all, great to see you.